welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we're so pleased to have you sharing with us. At the Scotts Fork Christian Church, we are beginning today, June the 11th, and going through the last Sunday in July, a special emphasis upon reaching the lost for Christ. People maybe who need to dedicate themselves more fully, people who are baptized, immersed believers into Christ, bringing their membership to the Scotts Fork Church, and then also those who have not made the confession of faith, those who have not accepted Christ, that this would be done during this period of time. And we are praying for a minimum of 8 decisions. And if you would be led to pray for us that we might be successful in accomplishing this and even more, it would be deeply, deeply appreciated. This morning, I'm going to be reading from the 16th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. You've probably read the words many a time, but in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, let's listen to these words. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So this morning we're going to be talking about evangelism. And friends, I maybe overwork this terminology, but I never want to be negative, but it appears from the fruit that we see out there for a host of churches all across this country, all across this land, that maybe the light of evangelism has gone out. We know that we study the Holy Bible, and we know that the very reason that Jesus went to the cross and died, buried, and rose again is so that our sins could be taken away and that names could be added to the Lamb's Book of Life and that we could have the hope of eternal life. But what we must understand is that evangelism doesn't happen by chance. We know that we've just read here in the Gospel of Matthew, and then also that we know that in you can take the Bible, and you've heard me say this sometime or another, and divide it into three sections, starting with Genesis going forward, that someone is going to come. And then, of course, we come to the Gospels, and we read about someone coming, Jesus the Christ, the hope of the world, and then also that someone is coming again. And so today we need to have possibly a revival in our thinking. If we're going to be genuine Christians, if we're going to take up the cross, if we're going to follow him, a genuine concern about bringing people to Jesus Christ. Now, what we need to understand is that as we look at where we are, 2023, June 11, is we need to ask ourselves a couple of things. We need to know where we are in the world. What are some of the things that we need to consider as we think about bringing people to Christ? Listen to these particular things, if you will. The birth rate today is one-third less than it was in the 60s. The pool of traditional college students is greatly reduced from what it once was. Fewer high school graduates are now enrolling in college. This is a decade-long trend. Between 2017 and 2022, male high school grads enrolling in college dropped 11% and females dropped 8%. And also we know that today's culture in all circles is fewer men seeking to enter the preaching ministry. And friends, we must understand that, of course, Paul, in writing in his letters and all, he spoke about the importance of the minister and having ministers to preach the word of God. How shall they preach unless they are sent? And on we could go. And so this morning, I want us to notice a couple of things as we read the scriptures in respect to bringing people to Christ. We know today that, like I said, that last thing, fewer people, men, are considering the pulpit ministry. So I want us, first of all, to look and notice that, look at the church prophetically. For instance, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in the third chapter, verses 10 and 11, this is what he said. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great teaching as Paul spoke to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. Now we can go back, and like I said there just a moment ago, the church prophetically, and look in Genesis the 12th chapter, and we read some very, very touching words. And this is what it says in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And as you continue to read those verses, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, speaking of Jesus Christ. And then also in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 11 and 9, is the earth full of the knowledge of the Lord. In the book of Daniel, an Old Testament book, of course, the second chapter in verse 44, kingdom that will endure forever. Isaiah, the great prophet, in the second chapter and verses 1 through 4, and gives us these great words, and all nations stream into it. And then again in Isaiah 62 and 2, all nations, then a new name. We know in Acts 20, 11th chapter and verse 26, that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And then we have, of course, that great commission in the Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verses 19 and 20. And I want to read those for you, if you will listen. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And friends, I just cannot emphasize enough that how important, because after all is said and done, that if we do not lead people to Christ, if we do not take it seriously, then we're failing miserably in our work for the Lord. You know why this is so important? You see, possibly many times we are doing things backward. If we had more people who were devout Christians, who believed the Holy Scriptures, who believed in Christ, believed that he was the hope of the world, if we had more of these things being done and taught, then we would not be having, I have no question about it, nothing like the problems we are having in our world. Ever since back in the 60s and on forward, it just seems that the Bible, the teachings, the respect for the church, the respect for the Bible, is that it's just continually declining. And consequently, that has a tremendous impact on where we are in our world. Now, we notice not only that there was the church prophetically, but also there was the Pentecost explosion. Now, let me share something with you that's very, very important, is that in the Gospels, we read about Jesus coming into the world. We just read for our scripture reading today for our message is that Jesus declares, Peter declares, I beg your pardon, that Jesus is the Messiah. And so what you have is the Great Commission, as we read just a moment ago in the 28th chapter. He said to his disciples, to the 120 who were present, go into the world and do what? Share, listen, friends, the greatest message in all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then you come to the fifth book in the New Testament, and that is the book of Acts. And what you find in the book of Acts, it records the work that the disciples did as they went into the world, as they taught, as they preached, and as they shared the message of the world, the hope of the world, and how to be a part of the body of Christ. And you've heard me mention many and many a time, and I mention it again, is that there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And without doubt, the greatest chapter is the second chapter of the book of Acts. And this is where we read, because Jesus always was talking about in his Gospels, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we read that this is what happened. And when you turn to the book of Acts and you start reading, bear with me just one moment here, and I go to the first chapter of the book of Acts, and this is where we have the beginning, and where that Jesus had been on the earth for 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God and about his ascending back into heaven. And then we have, as we see in that second chapter, where the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, which means 50th, the first day of the week, 7 times 7, 49, the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And that is when Peter preached the first gospel sermon. Here we have a record of Jesus' disciples being committed and going to work for the cause of Jesus Christ. And as you start in that second chapter, walk your way all the way through, is what you have is record after record after record of people being saved. Friends, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Hope is given to those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Like, for instance, on the day of Pentecost, in that second chapter, we read about 3,000 souls being added to the body of Christ. Now, that's a powerful lot of people. How in the world did they baptize 3,000 people? Well, as you study this, this was not impossible, that what would have taken place after a person had been baptized by someone, then that person would turn around and baptize another, and so forth and so on. And so it would be surprising how quickly that you could baptize tens and hundreds as they continue to help each other in their baptism into Christ. And then as you look in Acts the 4th chapter, the number of men who came were 5,000. Acts 5:14, more and more men and women were added to the body of Christ. In Acts 5, now this Acts means the work of the apostles. This is interesting to me, is that in the Gospels we read about that I will build my church, and then what you read about is after they received what they were supposed to tell and share, that they went to work. And friends, maybe I'm speaking to someone who might be listening to this podcast, and they are a new Christian. They are a new person committed to Christ. And they really are pleased that they are, and so consequently, they want to share the message with others. Friends, let's just pause here for just a second. And if I could talk to you on a one-to-one basis, I would venture to say that I would find it very, very touching, because I know that if I were to ask you, what would you take? Are you sorry for making a commitment to Jesus Christ? And I'm not a gambling man, but I would venture to say that out of a single person in all of my years of ministry, now 60 near kind of my time I spent in evangelism before going to the located ministry, 60 years, I have never had an individual to say, "Otis, I'm sorry that you sat down with me and explained to me what a person must do and what is involved not only in becoming a Christian, but in living the Christian life." And so just as they had been commissioned, listen, brothers and sisters, you and I have been commissioned. Yes, we know it was given to the apostles. Yes, we know that it was given specifically to the 120 who were there. But also, it is fair to understand that it has been given to all mankind for all time to come. And so they went to work, and they believed. And today, friends, you can do more than you think. Like I said, starting today, June 11th through July 30th, we're hoping and praying that we'll see people maybe who feel like they need to publicly dedicate themselves more fully to Christ. People who need to bring their membership and go to work. And also people who need to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. You see, I've heard it said, and it's so true. We need to do everything that we can to have a happy, happy home. We need to do everything that we can to have a church home, a body of believers. And then if we do that, seek to be faithful in that, then we will have a heavenly home, an earthly home, a heavenly home, and a church, a body of believers. And so as you continue in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, the 28th verse, you have filled, Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, he said, "You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Acts 6:1, the number of disciples was increasing. Sixth chapter, verse 7, a large number of priests became obedient. In Acts 16:5, churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in number. And then in Acts 11:21, the hand of the Lord was with them, great numbers. And then coming to the book of Colossians, the gospel proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Friends, we go back to the time when this was happening, and all probability didn't have the kind of money that we have today, did not have the kind of buildings we have today, did not have the kind of transportation that we have today, did not have the kind of communication that we have today. But friends, they understood their responsibility. And that's what's hurting us today. I cannot help but feel if I would back up 20, 30 years and talk to Christians and ask them, how many people have you invited to come and worship with you? How many of you have talked to people? Yes, you heard me right. How many of you have talked to people about how Christ loves them? He's their best friend. He is a myriad of things. I know that I would find many, many more who were doing that back then are doing it now. Friends, we don't want to be, and I'm not much for, you know, flipping out little cliches, but you've all heard, maybe you've heard this before, that many times it seems that we want a preacher at to bring a sermon at so we can be a Christian at. And probably some of you who are listening can identify with this. You can remember when men use Braille cream religion, Braille cream hair things to make your hair lay down, and they had a little expression, a little dab will do you. Friends, I hope and pray that I am not talking to people who are living their lives and concerning their relationship to Christ, that for lack of better words, that they're in that bracket, just a little dab will do you. Friends, I can honestly say, and I'll be 80 years old in January if I live that long, and I can honestly say that the greatest friend I have in this entire world is Jesus Christ. And I have a great consolation, just as we read from the Great Commission, and Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." You want to help with your anxiety, you want to help with concern about for the future, you want to help just to calm your nerves, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I have that great consolation, and every Christian does, especially if he or she is seeking to walk close to Christ, is that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I believe that with all of my heart. Every night before I go to bed, before I put my head on the pillow, I quote every night Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding." Listen now. "Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Friends, that is such great consolation. And Jesus said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And so when we think about sharing Christ, just as we read about the commission, we say, well, that's great, because they certainly did have something great to share, that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he conquered the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will never die. And so we've got the same message to share with people. I don't know how many times I have shared from the pulpit at Scott's Fork, the greatest thing in all the world that you can do for your children is to help them to understand what is you that you do to become a Christian. As parents, seek to be a Christian, not in word only, but in your example. And I will assure you, you are going to be blessed, and you're going to be immeasurably blessed. And so as we think about sharing in this evangelism thing at our church, is that the church should grow today. I find many times that people stand around, bless their sweethearts, and they wring their hands and they as if don't know what to do. Friends, you pray for guidance. You do your part. Stay in the Word. Stay around people who help you grow and who encourages you in your walk with Christ. And seek the Christian example, and he will lead you. He will hear your prayer, and he will lead you and take care of you. So as we read in 2 Peter, Peter helps us to understand that Jesus intended for his church to grow. Listen to these words in 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." If you're listening, friend, to this broadcast, and you are not a Christian, oh, how I would beg you to seek to become one. Christ will never fail you. Yes, you'll have troubles. We've all had troubles. I've had sicknesses. I've had heartaches. I've had my heart broken, and on I can go. But you know, as long as we are in this world, we're going to have trouble, because Satan is alive, seeking whom he may devour. He's right, doing everything he can. He's doing everything to get you not to really listen to this podcast and listen to the words that I'm sharing. And so Peter, in his writings in 2 Peter 3:9, he plainly says, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If you say, well, it can't happen where I am, well, let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. We look at the Bible, and we ask ourselves, is the place where we are any harder than it was in Jerusalem, in Corinth? You see, God's power, listen to me now, can't work in, a lot of people say, in my town. Well, please notice, if you will, today, that churches are growing today in unlikely places. And some do, and some don't. But we need to understand that some absolutely are tremendously. You know, as we look at Luke, the 15th chapter, where it talks about lostness, the lost sheep. We read about the lost coin. We read about the lost son, the prodigal son. And all of these are examples of pointing out the importance of understanding the word lostness. Lostness is a very sad word. And so we need today that understand that churches will not grow automatically. We put it like this. You can always rest assured when you look at God and want God to work in your life, and then also when you look and seek to do your part, that it's unreal, that things that can happen. But you see, man's part, God never blesses, listen to me, an inactive man. God never blesses an inactive woman. If you want to be blessed, you have to take seriously, and should be happy to do it, take seriously the command to go into the world and share Jesus Christ. There is this particular thing that we know in Galatians 6:7, talking about sowing and reaping. And a person has said there are three laws of sowing and reaping, and this is how they said it. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. And then you reap later than you sow. How true that is, friend. Having grown up on a farm in Shelby County, I know that is so very, very important. And I think so often, and I think about my work as a minister, and I think about what it says in Matthew 22:10. So the servants, as the count is given, went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Friends, we should be glad if we have the health and have the ability. We should be willing to happily do everything we can to help each local body of Christians to grow and to share the greatest message of hope in all the world. We've got to start viewing church growth as normal. One person has since said, Vance Habner has said, we've been abnormal for so long, we call normal abnormal. And if we want to be a church like Christ wants it to be, we will be one who will seek to be normal, and that is in doing what Christians ought to do. Yes, friends, we covet your prayers. The Scotts Fork Christian Church, June the 11th through July 30th. We request your prayers. I will be praying about it, and I hope all of our members will be praying about it, and that we can see a people becoming Christians. Let us pray, please. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we know we live in a day where it is really, really challenging, because it seems so many times that people maybe think they know as much as our Lord or more, that people really don't believe anymore. People don't read their Bibles. People don't pray. That seems to be a fair assessment. And Lord, I pray for a revival in our church. I pray that all of us will realize that if we're going to be pleasing to God, we should joyfully accept our responsibility of saying to someone, come and go to church with me. Come, let's sing the great songs of faith. Let's come around the Lord's table. Let's pray. Let's hear the message of the hour. And let's thank our Lord for his countless blessings. Bless this message and bless us all in your service. In his name we pray. Amen.